Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One good player in that group.
You know who feels that way is the people who can turn the game off when it gets really bad halfway through the second quarter and watch The Office or Power or whatever show James is talking about. Like, you could watch that.
Snowfall.
You don't have to. Snowfall. Nice.
You
don't
have to. You guys had me watch Snowfall.
Oh, that's right. Snowfall's great, though,
yes.
Right?
I got like 2.5 seasons in, and then it was like the same exact thing kept happening.
You're not wrong.
Oh, you got to get to the end. No. You got to.
Only four season more six. Seasons.
There's one season where it's like, okay, why is there a tiger walking through Compton? But outside of that, like, no, that series is fire.
You wanted the best
just
shows of all.
And
me.
It's arguably the tiger in Compton.
Yes.
It's pretty crazy. It's arguably the greatest ending to a show I've ever seen.
Oh, it wow. is. All right.
It is.
All right.
For
I
me,
I was a little disappointed.
It's flawless. I could.
I
yeah, I remember when you saw it.
I don't want to know.
I remember when
it.
You saw it. You said
it's
that.
It's one
I
of the
like,
great shows of all time.
I, to be fair, the. Correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't get it, right?
No.
Did you understand what happened at the end?
Yeah.
Don't say what happened at the end.
Yeah, I just. It was just a little underwhelming.
Okay.
The spoilers.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It was just
a little I thought it was beautiful storytelling.
You know what I think is beautiful? KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Yeah, I've not watched Snowfall yet.
Great one. They're about to do the spinoff.
Oh.
With
Rainfall?
There's six seasons.
Rainfall.
Snow Flurry?
I didn't say it was a good joke.
I forgot their names on the show, but Gail Bean is the actress's name, the one that was the girlfriend who fell off the wagon.
Oh, yeah.
They're about to do a spinoff with those two.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right. Someone said it's top 10 show all time.
Oh, it's terrific.
All right.
Yeah, it's
all
really
right.
good.
What's
really,
it really good. FX?
Yes, Hulu.
Okay.
I think is where I think it lives on Hulu.
Where does it? This is probably a stupid question. I swear to God, we'll get back to the Kings. Where how
and your
is
desire
it,
to watch Dylan?
Yeah,
all,
no,
all year long.
Can't wait. No. How does it? Where is it different from a show like The Wire?
It's a little more theatrical.
It's more well, it's more intricate, and I mean, if you know enough, you realize they're telling a real story.
Got it. Okay.
Snowfall is essentially how the crack epidemic in Los Angeles started.
Got it.
Including the involvement of like when I first started watching the show, which wasn't live, I think the first thing I said when I was like, "Hey, I'm like 5 episodes into this." This is the Rick Ross story, right? Not the Rick Ross affiliated
right,
with this show, the Freeway Rick Ross story. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, it's going to veer away, but the similarities of the involvement of the U.S. government and the cartel and all, like, yeah, that's how Rick Ross introduced crack to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
Now, all right, I'm in. You sold
it. It's fantastic. You compare it, I'm biased. Nothing compares. The Wire was a TV show that to me did not look like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Snowfall
I can see
looks
that.
Like a production.
Got it.
You know,
okay.
Just like not that it's wrong, but just like it looks like I'm watching a
Snowfall.
Like the lighting
was grimy.
And the
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean,
got
I'm
it.
Sorry. 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 The Wire was grimy.
Right.
Yeah. You felt the whole time like, oh, this is you're in it.
Right.
Yeah.
You felt like
yeah.
you're in it.
Yeah.
All right.
I think
but
that's the beauty
but Snowfall
of it.
Snowfall is amazing. Yeah. They did a fantastic job.
Great. You just hated the ending.
Didn't hate
no,
it.
No, you didn't hate it.
No, I know.
No, I thought the ending was terrific.
Kings last night. Here we go. Lock in, everybody. The handoff, ESPN 1320, reset. Okay. So I think my I said this, we talked about this earlier. Nothing happened last night that made me feel differently about the Kings one way or the other. It was a preseason game.
Agreed.
They look they've got a lot of work offensively. To do.
Yeah.
They have work to do defensively. Like none of that is like it's not like we've been sitting here going, hey, their defense is going to be so locked down. I can't wait to see this group in action. And then they weren't like, nah. Just kind of, it would look like a sloppy version of what I think the Kings are going to look like this year, which is game one of the preseason. I'm not. If you thought they were going to win 55 games and you watched last night and go, that's not what I expected, like, well, that's on you. That's a you problem for thinking they were going to look like they were going to win 55.
Well, taking the 55 out of it, I did expect it to look a little different last night.
Sure.
I don't think it looked anything like what they talked about.
I agree.
I didn't feel like they were moving at any different pace.
Agreed.
I think there were possessions that they did. The 94 feet thing was like...
Doug said they did it 30% of the time, and he wants 85%.
I think that is a generous grading on Doug's part.
In the
I
first
did
half.
Not think. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, so 30%, half, so, yeah. 30% of the of half the game, that I'll buy that I'd be more likely to buy into a little bit. Cause
they did it 30% of the time, 50% of the time.
The dumb thing was, is like I was watching the game, and I'm kind of just watching it as a basketball. Like, what am I, like, watch two things. Watch the end of each possession. And it was just like, no, like this just kind of looks like basketball.
Standard basketball.
It looks like everything I always see.
I'm willing to give some grace, though, in that they're still trying to figure it out on both sides of the floor. So that's why I'm not. I was already in the like, yeah, they're probably like 40-ish wins. I'm still there. Nothing happened last night that made me think otherwise.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm north of 40-ish, but yeah, that's I don't.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that went on with me while I was watching this game. Number one, let's start with the 94 feet thing. There are things and moments that won't get classified as 94 feet where they were picking up 94 feet, or I should say one person was. You think about Dennis Schroeder. There are times when he denied and didn't let Emmanuel Quickly bring the ball up, and he did that 94 feet. Now,
can I add one thing to that? They're not all five defending 94 feet. That was never an intention, right?
So that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't know what the game plan is and how many people's job it is to pick up 94 feet. But what would happen was Schroeder would deny Quickly the ball. Quickly would say, hey, get it over there to Agbaji. And Zach LaVine would be a little bit past half court. Now, is it a full five, full out denial, full court, 94 feet? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But Dennis Schroeder, a lot of the times, was essentially doing his job. He didn't do it enough because Doug, at least right after the game, said, "Nah, we need more." But he was doing his job, being disruptive in the backcourt, being disruptive 94 feet, and not allowing the point guard to walk the ball up or even initiate the offense. We don't know. I don't know what the role is and the job of Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, or whatever. But I think it happened a little bit more than people realize. And this will go into the other thing that I'll say about my experience yesterday. I was doing the Coach's Corner show at Bar West, so I didn't get a chance to watch it live. After the game, shout out, after the show was over, excuse me, you know, I'm scrolling Twitter or whatever. I got to get home. I know I'm not going to watch any of the game live. I know I'm going to go back and watch it later. And I'm on Twitter, and I'm looking at the score on the app, and I'm like, hey, this ain't looking good. And I'm reading what people are saying. I'm reading the James Hams, other people, what the people are saying. This ain't looking good. Then, about 11 o'clock at night, I sit down to watch the game. And I'm not saying it was good, but it wasn't what I expected after reading all that stuff. Like,
no
like,
doubt.
Like Damon said, it was just kind of a basketball game. It wasn't a disaster. It wasn't they were awful, or it was just they had some miscues. If anything from what I saw, I thought the second unit was where the game got out of hand. I thought that group was mismatched. I thought offensively they were all over the place, and the missed defensive assignments and the separation between the two teams happened when that second unit came in. I thought from everything I read, I thought it was going to be the first unit where I would see all that. I didn't really see that. I saw more so with the second unit.
So, James, they opened that second unit with Keon, Malik, and Dennis, right? That's how the second unit opened up.
Yeah, it did.
And I was kind of surprised to see that
a little bit. With Eubanks and Isaac Jones.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, because I was like, oh, that's a different looking lineup than I thought. So a couple of things with what you said. First of all, I thought Toronto did exactly what I think Doug Christie wants the Kings to do.
Yes. They did a really good job of that.
Yes.
And you're right. The Kings have been, it feels like it's Dennis Schroeder's job to go chase people for 94 feet and everybody else goes and does whatever they want to do, like have a snack. I don't know what they're doing, but it doesn't feel like they're engaged. Toronto had three guys causing problems in the backcourt. It was like they slowed the Kings' offense down so much by having three different dudes. Now, if you start hitting outlet passes and you're moving, the Kings couldn't even inbound the ball. Like every time I watch the Kings go to inbound the ball, they have like a super short guy trying to inbound the ball against like a 6'11" guy who's jumping up and down, and they can't get the ball in. Every play was almost a 5-second call. So that's something that like Doug is going to look at and go, okay, we've got to figure out our inbounds play for sure. But I thought Toronto did exactly what they were, what the Kings wanted to do. And then the other thing, the Kings got all the way down to 4 points at the end of the second quarter. And then Toronto hit three threes in a row and ended the game. Like they just let off the gas for 2 seconds and the 3-point thing just wouldn't go away. Like stop giving up wide open threes. What are you doing?
Against a team that hit 10 the last time they played.
So here's the thing that I saw on that. And once again, I always want to preference this because I learned this from Greg Cosell, right? Watching football.
Yeah.
We can sit up here and analyze the results or what happened, but we don't know what was supposed to happen.
Mention you know that. I mean? Bill Belichick always says that.
Right. So I don't know what the defensive philosophy was. But one issue that I really saw was I saw unnecessary overhelping. And that led to at least a handful of wide open threes where the guy who was guarding the ball, maybe he's on his shoulder. Maybe he's not just like crazy locked down. He can't move, but he's got the guy contained. And for whatever reason, and I saw it with Sabonis, I saw it with Keegan, those two specifically, where they dip down to help, and it's, why are you helping? He's contained. Guy kicks it out to who was the lefty Euro three-point shooter?
Well, Barrett was hitting.
Not Barrett. I don't want to say white guy because I don't know if he's white, but the lefty, the big guy with the tattoos. That's who Sabonis.
Mamushkevili?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good knowledge.
Yeah. Mamu.
He kicks it out to him. That's in that sequence that you talked about at the end of the second quarter. Wide open three, cash out. And my first thought is, why are you helping there? He's guarded. You don't need to help. And this may go into what you talked about at the beginning of the show of bad, not bad habits, but a strategy and a philosophy that was learned over the course of the last 3 years that they have to unlearn.
That's what I got. I was watching the help issue, it was exactly what I was told before the game. Like, hey, don't expect the defense to look great because we have to unlearn this whole thing. That the especially last season, their defense was to tilt the defense to one side, to push everything into one side. And it's why they kept getting beat by the weak side three-point shot all season long.
Yeah.
But they were trying to mask a couple of things. And in doing that, they really, really pushed the defense too far one way. He's like, so now I got players that are like out of position the whole time. Because that's what they're doing last year. So everyone, and if you have half the team that's doing what they did last year and half the team that's not, all of a sudden now you open up this giant swath of land in the middle. So they have to readjust and they've got to get, you know, it's not just how they run out and close out on a shooter. That I thought actually there were times where they did okay. It wasn't just running for the high five. There was closeouts that were strong. But the fact that the floor was tilted the whole time, they weren't able to get to the closeout even remotely close to, you know, in time. Right. And so they just kept giving up wide open looks. I don't know how many wide open looks there were in that game, but I'm going to guess that like
probably
60% of their 3-point shots were wide open looks, mm-hmm. which was crazy.
I think there's also just a personnel problem when it comes to 3-point defense for the Kings.
Of course.
Like there's always, I don't think there's a defense they can run or a way they can execute it that they're going to be some lockdown defensive team. It's just when a team puts up 37, can you keep them from making 20? Can you make that 12 of 37? You just contest in a different way. I think the Kings' defensive problems go beyond just, they're trying to unlearn their defense and they're trying to learn this new thing. I think it's going to be an issue now and in December and in February and in April.
Well, that's the thing. If you're trying to unlearn something that you've done for 2 years or mm-hmm. or however long we decide this group, you're not going to be able to do it in a matter of weeks
mm-hmm. or 7 days. That's what they.
Yeah, mean. Right. You're not even you're not going to be able to do it prior to your first preseason game or your first regular season game. So they're going to have to figure out something, mm-hmm. right? You could maybe you know whether it's tomorrow or next Wednesday or whatever. Like you've got to figure out something that somehow kind of merges the two or mm-hmm. allows you to play the style of defense that your coach wants. But yeah, I don't know. You talk about unlearning something that's going to take,
mm-hmm.
you lean on habits, right? You lean on muscle memory. You kind of lean on what you know. And if something that you're doing that's new falls apart, you just kind of revert back to, well, I know I could do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we don't want you to do that. And one person doing that throws off the other four.
Right.
Well, that, and I want to bring up something we talked about yesterday. It was that Keegan Murray, like there are certain things that you knew Keegan Murray was going to take from the college game and be able to translate. One of them was a weak side shot block.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray was unbelievable last night blocking shots.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
They had 11 blocks as a team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them were weak side shot blocks, which means that someone's going to be open because of that. Mm-hmm. So whatever they were doing that was allowing the weak side shot block, it also was part of the symptom of what was happening with the 3-point shot.
But so here's the thing with, and I thought Zach LaVine had moments where he was asleep on the help side and on the weak side.
I thought he was really good on a couple of defensive plays.
He was. But I, the person I'm about to bring up, I don't want to make it like I'm picking on him. But there were a lot of times in that first quarter when I saw Keegan Murray just not, once again, I don't know what the game plan is, but what I can see and what I can decipher, just not have the awareness of what he should be doing on the weak side and the help side.
Mm-hmm.
James can see the screen right here, but this was the first three of the game to Brandon Ingram. I think it's RJ Barrett attacks, or Emmanuel quickly attacks Sabonis. He kind of beats him. Now you've got Agbaji in the corner. Mm-hmm. You've got Ingram on the wing. Keegan mm-hmm. is guarding Ingram. DeRozan has Agbaji in the corner. DeRozan comes to help, but so does Keegan for whatever reason, gets it straight to Brandon Ingram. You can't leave Brandon Ingram in that situation. If I'm going to have one person open in that situation, mm-hmm. it's Agbaji in the corner to shoot for him to shoot the three,
mm-hmm.
not for Brandon Ingram, and the help is already there. Why is Keegan helping again? Yeah. Look at this, James. They got three guys on one.
Yeah, and I see what Keegan's doing. If you look where he's positioned, he's hedging between the two players trying to take away both passes because somebody else collapsed too far deep.
But the ball's already contained. You don't have you. If you got to give up something when somebody leaves, you're gonna leave. In my opinion, you're gonna leave Agbaji in the corner. You're not gonna leave Brandon Ingram free throw line extended.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but back it up a little bit because the
film school.
I'm gonna guess
on the radio.
I'm gonna guess that the player that was supposed to come in and collapse, was Keegan and not DeMar. DeMar was supposed to shift slightly over to take away the pass, and so he could defend both.
Mm-hmm.
Where Keegan was coming down because the guy's coming from the top, not from the baseline.
I don't think Keegan should have came down help. In this situation, DeMar's helping Domantas Sabonis' guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where DeMar's help is coming from, so he leaves Agbaji open. Somebody's got to be, I'll put it to you
right,
this way.
Right.
Somebody's got to be open. Do you want it to be mm-hmm. Ingram or Agbaji?
Right.
Or do you have the IQ of what you're supposed to do where you're saying, I got two guys over here, which guys should I leave open?
Right. And that may be a product, this specific play you're talking about, may be a product of it's preseason, go play.
Mm-hmm.
In the regular season, I'm sure there's tape and game planning and you're going, all right, hey, Brandon Ingram's been lighting it up. We're not leaving Brandon Ingram. And maybe that goes differently in the regular season.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. I have no reason to believe it will, actually. So I don't know what I'm talking about.
It takes time. I think the biggest issue that I saw last night, once again, you're also talking to somebody that after watching the game, after, like I said, maybe I was jaded from what I saw before. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody was making it out to be. They had moments, and I thought the second unit was really bad. That's where the game got out of hand, and that that 2 minutes that you talked about before the half, that's when it got out of hand. But one of the biggest issues I saw when you talk about the three-point shot is just the unnecessary over-helping, leaving guys wide open. They've got to do a better job of trusting the person that has the ball is guarding him. He's got him. He's guarding him. And if you get beat a little bit, you got to hustle to get back in front. You can't rely on the help because that's where the defensive breakdown seems to happen with the Kings, and they give up these wide open looks.
Well, even this play right here that you're looking at, like, know your personnel. Domantas Sabonis can defend that guy man-on-man.
Domantas is there.
DeRozan, he's not out of position.
He should go back to Agbaji in the corner.
He should have stayed there. And if you are going to have help, you've got to have help come from the right spot. And again, I don't know what the exact right spot is because it feels like two players thought it was their responsibility.
Right.
And again, if the ball is at the top and coming to the left side, then you would think that Keegan is going to be the one that steps in, who now can have Ingram on his right hand and help defense on the left hand as the guy's coming through, not the guy in the corner stepping down to try to cut off baseline. It's like, man, that's not a good enough offensive player that you need to double team or that you need to help off of. What that does is, I mean, that shot in the corner, that's a 40% shot on average in the NBA. It's the best shot in the game. You don't give up the corner three.
Two, in this specific play, and I'll show you guys later too.
Can't wait.
In this specific play, this is the over-helping I'm talking about. Sabonis is back. He's recovered.
We're on the same play?
He's got him. Yeah.
Okay.
He's recovered. He's got, I'll even do a Mike Brown and put the the full screen up here.
No, please.
Sabonis is recovered. He's recovered. He's there. No, DeRozan doesn't need the help, and neither does Keegan Murray.
And against realistically, a second-rate offensive player. Not even probably second-rate. Like, he's a defensive – is that Mogba or what? I think that's
right. I think that was Mogba.
Jonathan Mogba, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's not an offensive weapon at all. Domas has got him. Stay on your man.
And that's where I go back to, I thought over-helping was one of their biggest issues last night.
Yeah.
From everybody. I thought all five of those guys, at least the starters – the second unit just needs to be better all around.
Yeah.
But from the starters, the over-helping was an issue, and that goes back to what you talked about in the conversation you had. I think it should already be learned, but maybe it's some things that should be unlearned from what the previous strategy was.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, I think that's the thing, and it's 7 days. We're 7 days into camp.
Mm-hmm. I also just keep – I'm gonna keep going back to this. I also think that there's going to be problems like this all year. Just because of the nature of the players they have. It's just, can you be league average or a little worse defensively and really good offensively?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the goal.
And to your point, you have all these players say, oh, I can defend 1 through 5. And it's like the Kings have maybe two players that can, well, I think Keon can defend the 1 and the 2. I think Dennis Schroeder can defend the 1. I think Key can defend the 2, 3, 4.
Some ones.
Okay, and some ones. But as a whole, most players are like, well, I might be able to defend my position. Maybe. But I'm certainly, like, again, when you see the switches, like, they were just getting Brandon Ingram in the right switch every single time and then shooting over the top of him. It's like, when that's what you have a bunch of 6'6" and lower guys who aren't defensive 6'6". Like, they're not Oklahoma City Thunder 6'6" guys. They're all of these 6'6" dudes. Like, okay, you're just going to get shot over the top of there, especially if they're going to keep switching and getting you into the right switch. And that's where I felt like the Kings weren't using. They might have been lost in trying to play the defense that Doug wants as opposed to just actually playing defense. Right. And so eventually they might figure some of that out. And even like Maxime Reyno talked about after the game, he's like, All the switching, I didn't know what to do. Like, all of a sudden, I've got a guard on me.
It keeps winding up with guys, like, wide open.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's got to be a fix.
Yeah, I just watch this. It's 9-4 right now, and there's a play where, like, Dennis drops to the corner, leaving, I think it was Quickly, just
alone,
just there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this happened all night.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you guys are talking about defense. I was actually trying to watch what they were doing on the offensive end. Dennis was terrible last night.
He didn't look good at all.
Dennis was awful. And I wonder how much of, because I thought the offense was bad. I didn't think the offense was good. And mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that is in sync with each other. The offense was bad because Dennis was bad. Dennis whipped the ball out of bounds one time trying to find Zach LaVine in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan gave him the perfect pass for the wide open three. And just not even remotely.
Oh yeah, he was bad last night. He missed one, like missed the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Keegan airballed at least one.
Well, that, and I would say this too. I think on the plus side is that you did see where they moved Domas around, and I thought Domas had freedom to attack. And I thought he was good attacking.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, okay, first of all, the four rebounds thing is one thing, but mm-hmm. no assists. Like, he was attacking head down, mm-hmm. and like, everyone's like, oh, I want him to score more. I want him to score more. It's like, do you? Or do you want him to have 8 assists and everybody scores more? Because
yeah,
that's what I'm kind of looking for.
Yeah.
I've never been someone who's like, hey, I need Domas to average 24 a game. 19, 20 a game is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me that 6, 7, 8, 9 assists every single game where everyone is now involved. And it did not feel like that at all. It felt like too many times he looked around like, where am I supposed to go? I got to go because I'm one-on-one and I'm going to the basket.
Yeah. We talked after the week one of the NFL season. We talked about the Raiders win, and James said it's competence. Look competent.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, if we're picking a word, look disjointed to me
mm-hmm.
on both sides. Yeah. Like that was just, I can't.
But great news for Kings fans.
Yeah.
The Raiders never look competent again, so maybe the Kings don't ever look disjointed again.
Great point.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
No, that's where it wasn't good. Like, I need that to be really clear. I did not watch the game last night and went, wow, what a performance, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Just, it wasn't good, but I saw problems that I thought they were going to have, and I see an offense that is still figuring it out. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not all terrible either. Like, LaVine was good last night.
He's really good.
Really good.
Domas was Domas. Like, he was good.
No,
like, the rebounding thing will. I can't imagine that's a thing. But, like, I liked most of Neek's minutes. Like, it's not like it was awful. It didn't come together the way everybody wanted it to. But.
I think at times
was awfulness to it. Dennis Schroeder.
But. I think at times it looked a lot like last year, and that's going to be a quick trigger for a lot of people.
Yeah, more specifically, more problematic. It looked like the end of last year.
Correct. That's what I mean. It just looks like, oh, they're going to be the same team. Like, that sucks. But again, it's for me, it's one preseason game. If it looks like this all four preseason games. Oof. But I'm giving them a little bit of grace here.
But even then, they have a week off before the season starts, mm-hmm. and they'll be able to look at all that film and go, okay, now we have film on ourselves mm-hmm. that's different than film against our own players.
When you say they play Wednesday and Friday next week, right?
Yes.
And then they play Wednesday, so it's not. I mean, they're
okay,
off
4 days.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's not the same as.
Yeah.
Yeah, four games.
I'm being
tape
picky
to look
with
at.
James's words.
That's fine. What do you guys got
tomorrow?
Coming up on?
I will ask you my question.
It's
classic 96-hour tease.
The tough part is it's related to week two of the NFL season, so it's not going to have any.
Is it really
way further back?
Oh, great!
Two.
Can you tell me what it's about?
It's about the 49ers,
okay,
and why they should have 15 Super Bowls.
Oh yeah, obviously.
It's about. I don't know if this gets talked enough. You may have talked about it because you're.
I did
one of the great 49er minds
that's
I know.
So nice.
But I think just in general, this doesn't get talked about, and it actually is one of the biggest heists maybe I've ever seen.
Mm.
Great.
So I have great news for everybody involved. I think you're with us all day tomorrow.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah. No, I am, for
great.
Sure.
Great. You can ask 100%. Him anytime you want to tomorrow.
Yeah. We won't get to it.
No, that'd be amazing. Mike Bibby coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Bibby will be with us. Brendan Marion will be with us later in the show. Matt George will be with us in about 45 minutes. So it's going to be an eventful start to the show. Don't go anywhere. Mike Bibby in 15 minutes.
We'd love to see it. James Hamm, we're the Insiders. I'm Kyle Madsen. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Till then, drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.
D'Lo and Casey on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN 1320. Breaking news from ESPN 1320 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. One more time. We welcome you into the Thursday, October 9th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barley.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
And Joe Brazil with us as Jesse's getting married tomorrow.
Joe Brazil is with us. We just got to find him. What's his drop? Just find it. Just like Kyle's is.
Yeah, I'm cool with whatever.
That's the gratitude I get from you pieces of crap.
How's that?
Let's go.
Official Joe Brazil drop.
I love
it. What's Kyle's? Like this you. One?
Stop asking me stupid questions.
That's Kyle? Okay. Okay.
Kyle's was JS. He said, no, don't give me that one.
JS?
I'm just going to say his initials.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
So he got.
We got Penny. Drops for everybody.
He got Penny now. He got Penny.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll just pick up where we left off, man. That's the great thing about the handoff. The show is already underway. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. Shout out to the folks who used to watch on Twitter. We're going to try to get that corrected. And the one person who watches on Twitch. And the 300 people who watch it later.
I think that's Cole who watches on Twitch.
I think Cole came over.
Oh, Cole made the switch.
I think so.
Cool. I don't
know.
He's
lonely over there. Nobody to talk to. Even Bryce came over. Bryce was one of the original
Bryce
Twitchers.
Was a Twitch guy.
Bryce said it's lonely over here, man. Oh, no, there's Bryce. There's Bryce. Bryce says it's just me. No, there's three other people in there. Hey,
good kid. Hey.
Good kid in there. The amazing thing is the after hours watch of D'Lo and Casey on Twitch is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why or how, but they just find us when it's done. Which is, I thought, the opposite of what happened on Twitch.
I thought, you know, usually it's live streaming type stuff, but I guess
Loop.
Just go back and like we said earlier, however you consume the D'Lo and KC show, we thank you and just keep doing it. podcast, video, live, radio. It's all good. We appreciate you.
We absolutely do. We absolutely
all the,
do.
All the real people who tap in. Not no bots. Numbers that really can't be quantified.
Mm.
This show has real people who tap in.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to say that.
I see what you're doing.
Because we all know what the other metric means. Real people tap in. And no, there isn't more real people in this city that tap into another show than D-Lo and KC.
That's facts.
This is number one.
That's facts. As Keep It Real G says, I don't have no dreams no more. I am the dream.
That might no, that's too disrespectful. I'm about to say that might have to be a drop.
That's no,
a,
no, you know what? Hey, no, hey, no. Hey, I can't lie. I thought about making that the open. I thought about making that the open. I don't have no dreams no more. I am the dream.
We can't do that to that's Dr. King.
That's a better heel promo than anyone in W. Can you imagine if John Cena cut that promo?
Oh, but in fire.
Instead of AIMLK?
It would have been fire.
Michael Cole losing it over Martin Luther King's heel turn was just fantastic. AI is so terrible, yet simultaneously so amazing.
That's the crazy thing too, Michael Cole's reaction to it.
What did he? I can't believe it. I can't wait till someone like cuts like AI versus like Dr. King versus Malcolm X.
Oh my gosh. You know what's happening too.
The heel Dr. King versus the babyface Malcolm X.
Hey, shut the internet down when that happened. Just shut it. No, just like Snake Plissken in Escape from LA, just 666. That's what he did. He sent us back to the Stone Age. Mm. Just do it.
Stone Age is tough too, man. You know what's dumb before we get, because, you know, we've got, start with this. Calm down. Everybody calm down. We're talking about AI and how Biggie and Tupac and Dr. King keep showing up on AI videos. I was listening to this podcast. It was about Biggie. And the only person I can think of this happens with is Big. Every time they get to the end of the story, I get sad. Like every time they start, like every time the podcast, the movie, the documentary, the books get to the Soul Train Music Awards, I immediately get sad. Like I know how it ends. Like I've lived it for 20 years. I know what it is. But every time they say, yeah, and that 95 Impala pulled up next to, it's like it happens all over again. And that doesn't happen with Pac. That doesn't happen with like any rest. It doesn't happen with anyone else. Mm-hmm. It only happens with Big. And I noticed it this morning listening to a podcast where talking about Hypnotized, because the story is always the same. Hypnotized was playing at that Soul Train Music Awards after party. Everyone was going crazy, coming up, congratulating him. The entourage leaves and that car pulls right up. Pop, 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 pop. That's it.
Damn. You know what kind of has me feeling that way sometimes, and it's kind of newsworthy because one's on a promotional tour, the other's going to be here at Sac State in a couple weeks, is talking about the Migos. And Offset did an interview the other day where he said it's just always sad just in general when you think about Takeoff passing, but Offset was like, he was the one that kept us together. He's the one that always brought us back together and made sure the Migos was the Migos. And you see how Offset and Takeoff, or excuse me, Offset and Quavo aren't the same anymore, right? As far as their closeness and all this other stuff. We talked about it when it happened. We're like, this is the Migos. How can you have the Migos now?
Yeah.
Like, they're over. And I look at them, and I think you back there, that's one of the great rap groups of all time. And for that, for it to be over that way is just heartbreaking to me, you know?
For sure.
And their actual family too and stuff. It's just, how you talk about Big, every time I hear one of those two talk about Takeoff or I'm reminded about, it's just sad. Mm-hmm. It is just so sad that happened.
Yeah, it's weird how this stuff sticks with us the way that it does. And it's so selective. Like, it's hip hop artists die. It's awful. Like, it doesn't happen with Nipsey. Like, it, I swear to you, it only happens with big. And it's so strange to me. Mike Bibby going to be with us in just minutes. Basketball season is back. Kings basketball is back. So is our man Sam. Sam, almost certainly live from Sky River Casino.
Sam in the house.
916-909-1320. Sam, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you nailed it again. Yeah, and I'll tell you, they got some great food down this place down here. Yeah,
talk about it, Sam. Absolutely. That's right.
I love it. No, they got all these nice things. It's a cool place to come. I mean, it's really, they did a great job. Hey, well, listen, that's what I didn't call to talk about. But, you know, the problem with playing 94-feet defense is that I would give the slight edge of the offense over the defense if the defense was going to press me 94 feet, because I know where the passes are going, and they're kind of on their heels. So, I think maybe you're going to start picking them up maybe at three quarters, but you better have a couple people back, because I just don't think that pressing them all the time so is going to work, because yeah, you figure it for yourself. Once you get on your heels, you're going to lose the game. And so I think half court would be a little bit more advised, with two or three maybe chasing them around once in a while in the front court. So,
Sam, we appreciate you as always. Have fun out there, Sky River. I think it's like I absolutely understand what Sam is saying. Mm-hmm. I just maybe the way Doug was talking, they're not five guys playing 94 feet.
Right.
Like you can't, just by nature of the way mm-hmm. of what the offense is doing. They're running down the court. Mm-hmm. There's going to be two guys, the inbounder and the receiver of the inbound. So you have at most two defenders down there, or you just have the one. The rest of the guys are following their assignments.
Right.
And I think this idea that all four guys, no, or all five guys, that's not going to be the case. It's we're picking up on guys the way I understand, and we'll ask, we should ask Coach JT. It's his tagline. Hmm. The way I understand 94 feet is you're playing defense from the moment the ball is inbound. Mm-hmm. You're not letting guys, you know, come down, get comfortable to adjust in the arm bend. No, you're guarding them. Then you got Dennis Schroeder or whoever the designated ball guarder is. You have him on there, and then you probably have whoever is guarding the inbound. Maybe not at 94 feet, but maybe they're picking up at 90, 85, somewhere down there to where they're running along the court with
right.
them.
Right. No, that's exactly how I would think of it, especially in the NBA. You might have one, maybe two guys picking up full court. And I'll say like this, the Raptors did a really good job of it last night. They had guys picking up full court, true 94 feet, making it difficult to inbounds. Let me ask you a question. Was Brandon Ingram one of those guys?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
So you've got guys like Zach LaVine, who sometimes wasn't picking up 94 feet, but I believe, and we'll talk about this later, you can't have your top scorers picking up 94 feet. You can't mm-hmm. ask them to play, score 25 a night and guard these guys like they're Tony Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's asking a lot. Mm-hmm. So we'll break it all down as the show goes along.
We will. We're gonna take a break right now because we expect Mike Bibby to be with us here in just a heartbeat. Steelo and Casey, we're just getting started. We're thrilled you're here with us on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and Casey. D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River.
It's a tough day. I just had to boot Mike Bibby out of the studio. Mike clicked the link, and he couldn't hear us, and we couldn't hear him. So I'm trying to tell him, hey, Mike, I'm going to kick you out of the studio. Click the link again. And I'm realizing he can't hear you, stupid. So I just had to go into this tab and boot Mike from the studio, just hoping he clicks the link again. Because
come on, Mike.
That's tough.
Come on, Mike.
That's tough when you have to boot one of your guys.
One of the goats, man.
You got to boot one of your homies from
there
just,
he is.
Just kick him straight out. Or at least, there he is. We got him now. What's up, Mike?
What kind of bootleg stuff y'all got going on there, man?
Hey, that's my bad, man. I'm sorry. Hey, sorry about that. I'm glad we good, though. We got you back. I was like, I can't kick Mike out of the studio, man. I can't get Mike out of the studio.
Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're excited for you. We're going to talk to your counterpart, Coach Brendan Marion, here in a little bit. You guys got a big kickoff weekend coming up for the students on Friday. But do you feel like you've got some expectations? Like, you've got a hell of a roster coming in. You got a hell of a roster changeover. You got Shaquille O'Neal involved. Like, you are a icon in this market. And that carries like a lot of weight. Like, we're seeing the expectations of what the football team has been dealing with. Does that add a little anxiety to you headed into this, to the start of the schedule?
No, everything is done. Everything happens for a reason. You know, I was brought back here, you know, for that reason. And, you know, to change the culture here and change into a winning program. And, you know, that's the goals that we set for the year. I mean, I can't predict the future, obviously, but I mean, from the stuff that we're putting in, the stuff we're working, and the guys that we have, we put it all together. I think it's going to work out good. And I mean, we're working hard. The kids are working hard. You got to understand too. We had to change a lot of their habits that they've gotten from the places that they were here, that they had before they got here. So it's a lot of, you know, mind changing, and you know, just little habits that they've had at other schools that, you know, that they don't have here. You know, I'm gonna let these guys play. I want them to be aggressive. I told a kid, you know, I'll take you. I bet you never been taken out for not for passing up a shot. I'll take you out for not shooting the ball. I don't care how many shots you miss. I want you to go out there and play freely, play hard. But you got to play hard. You got to play defense.
How do you feel the response has been? I know from the outside looking in, it looks like, you know, these guys are all bought in. They love playing under you or whatever. But I know one of the, you know, when they first started practices, the common thing that I heard was, yeah, coach, he gets on us. He gets on us. He's expecting. But it seems to be working. Like I said, I was able to check out one of the practices the other day, and kids were getting after it, you know, and they were responsive to everything that you were saying and the assistants were saying. How has that journey been, just trying to kind of get everybody used to each other?
I mean, it's good. I just I'm gonna try to push the kids as hard as I can. You know, a lot of times, you know, my question I have is, you know, who wants to play after they leave here? And everybody raised their hand. And I just try to tell them, like, hey, there's a certain things you gotta do. There's a certain way you gotta play. There's a certain way you gotta put extra work in. And I mean, they could believe what I'm saying because I've been there. And it's easy to believe that to a guy that's been there. So, I mean, I care about all these kids like they're my own. And, you know, I mean, I want them to do well on the court as well as off the court, you know, turn them into situations to where they can grow up and be, you know, respectful young men, do good in their classroom, you know, try to help them graduate if that's a goal for them. But, you know, I mean, my thing is that I care about these kids. You don't get a lot of coaches that care about these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike, you mentioned something there a second ago when you're talking about getting these young men to do something different than, you know, what they've been taught to do. We were just talking about that with your teammate Doug and how Doug is trying to get these Kings. Obviously, he got his first live action against an opponent under his belt last night. And a lot of what Doug is going through right now through camp and through these preseason games is trying to get them to stop doing stuff that they were doing before. And one of the easiest things that you could do as a player, even as a person, is just revert to the stuff that you know. How difficult is it to tell a young man who's gotten this far, like, hey, no, you can't. I know you've been doing that. You've got to stop doing that because that's not how we play here.
I mean, a lot, you know, you're a human being. You're going to follow habits that you have, whether, you know, it's off on the court, off the court, what you eat, whatever. So, I mean, it's just my thing is just try to put them in, try to form habits for them that are good habits. Mm. You know, even if you're tired, we don't get tired here. You know, let's push through it. You know, in that fourth quarter, when you're tired, as soon as you tell yourself you're tired, it's over with. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get that in their mind, like, I don't care how many sprints we run. Get your hands off your knees. We don't show defeat. Mm. You know what I mean? Just get out there. And when you're tired, push through it. Because when you get in the game, you've been in a situation before where you're tired. It's the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left. Okay, I've been here before. I've been tired. But I've gotten through that. So just put little habitual things in their mind like that. And just get them thinking, right, the mind's a strong thing. Mm. And I'm just putting positive energy and positive thoughts in their minds.
So, Coach, I asked you about, you know, the players getting used to your style and your expectations and the way that you push these guys. So the funny thing is, I heard you might be the nicer of the two Bibbies on the coaching staff. I heard Michael be getting after him. How is it working with your son in this role here in Sac State?
It's great. I mean, he's a head coach. I give him between 2 and 4 years till he has his own spot. He has his own coaching gig and is running his own team. That's how good he is. And I'm proud of him. And just, you know, he gets mad at me because he's like, Dad, you softened up. I'm like, what you mean? You got to give a little to get a little, I tell him. He's like, nuh-uh. Okay. Y'all go do what you got to do, Michael. You put him on the line right away. Boom. But they, you know, I mean, they reacted good to it. So, I mean, but like, it's a different time because he said I was a lot, I want to say meaner when I was coaching in high school. But I didn't let him. He said a lot of the sprints that they run, I'll give him a chance to shoot a free throw, maybe knock some of them off. Mm-hmm. I didn't used to do that when they were in high school. So he gets on me about that. But my mindset is you don't want to lose them all the way. And you know, you got to give them stuff to fight for. They're running hard. I don't like running like to we get on the line, we run, but we'll run for some mistakes and stuff like that, like throughout the practice. But I'd like you to run throughout the practice in their basketball situations and the basketball things we're doing to get you running on the court. But if you don't run on the court, I always tell them, if you don't run here in the practice, I'll find other things for you to do to run.
You're going to get in shape one way or the other. You could either do it running sprints or you could do it in basketball. But the choice is yours. How do you want to get in shape?
Or you can go see Al Biakani. Those are your choices. Go visit Al Biakani then.
Yeah, Al had him at the beginning. Al doesn't do much of the running now that the season started. But in the preseason, Al had him on the track. Al had him on the football field doing stuff. So
yeah, vomiting in the buckets is what he had them doing.
You gotta be ready then. You can't come and not be out of shape. Try to be in shape before you get there.
Can't do it. Mike and Michael playing good cop, bad cop was not something I was expecting this
day. When I was there, Michael was on their head, man. and I was sitting next to Al.
I mean, it's different to me. He's almost a lot of their same age. Mm. So it's kind of like a different coaching mentality that he has to them and me. So
you feel like they're ready?
We're getting there. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we will get there. You know, we got a month before our first game. We got an exhibition coming up, I think, next weekend. Mm. And, you know, it'll just be a test for us to see where we stand. You know, I mean, everybody will get a chance to play, see what combinations work. I mean, obviously you want to win it, but that's not our main goal right now. Just trying to see what combinations we could get and see how we match against somebody else and see if we're really good or if it just looks – if we're good because we're bad. So we're going to be able to tell the difference when we get to play New Orleans.
Coach, I want to ask you about somebody in particular that has really caught my eye, and that's Bear Cherry. Watching him play, I mean, he's the truth. I told Damian, I said, I think that's a pro. You know, I don't know if it's NBA, if it's overseas or whatever, but I think that's a professional basketball player. How has it been working with him and getting him ready for this season?
It's good. You know what I mean? He he's a monster. He's about 6'11", like 260. But, you know, we have to tell him stuff, too, just kind of keep him going and stuff like that. You know, these guys are kids. So with him, you know, just, he wants to be a pro. And, you know, I said, like, I'm trying to push him to get to that stop, to get to that kind of spot that he wants to be, and just let him know, like, hey, if you think you're doing enough, you got to do more. And just get him in that mindset of how pros think.
Yeah, I don't know how old that young man is, but that wasn't a kid. That boy, you said he was cat without the sass. My goodness.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big kid, man. He's a monster. He's tough. He'll talk a little trash to you. So, I mean, it's,
oh, there you go.
It's good. You know, I think he's the captain of the team, leader of the team, and just how he talks to the guys and guys, you know, listen to him. Mm-hmm.
This you guys got kind of a Midnight Madness thing jumping off this Friday for Sac State students. From what I heard, you're going to be battling a student in a 3-point contest.
I wouldn't call it battling. We're going to have a shootout, I guess. We have to see what they're going to put us through, but I can still shoot that thing. No, as long as I ain't got to move too much. I'll be able to shoot that thing forever.
Look, the shot never leaves.
No, as I was going to say, I'm not an NBA player. I'm definitely not Mike Bibby, but I tell my son all the time, I'll be able to shoot forever. I might not be able to catch up to you, like, if you start moving, but I'll be able to shoot to the day I die, and I know Mike Bibby the same way.
And it's crazy because my son thinks he's a better shooter than me, too. I mean, there's been shooting drills, shooting things that we've got that he's won a few times, but I got to remind them, I was shooting before you were alive, so there's no way – there's no way I got a 20-year head start on you, and you're better than me at anything. So, I mean, it's just the confidence that he has. I love the confidence that he has.
Yeah.
Hey, is the crew going to be here for the opener? Dane and E, everybody, they coming out for the opener?
I think Dane will be here. You know, Dane has some business stuff that he does with, you know, the Bibalicious marijuana stuff that he does. So he'll be out there. He comes back and forth. He does a lot of the stuff, a lot of business out here. So he comes back and forth. Not everybody. You know, we still got a lot of friends that live out here, too, that will be at the games and everything.
Have them send some samples out of the Bibalicious.
Whenever he gets here, just I'll remind him and get you guys some.
All right, man. We appreciate you. Have fun this weekend. Have fun at the Midnight Madness, man. We'll be tapping in with you, as always.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.